Okay, so my perception from the outside looking in is there doesn't seem to be a lot of cooperation in Congress. This country was founded on compromise. We had founders that went in Philadelphia to develop one of the best nations in the world. And they locked themselves up and they compromised. They came in with, this is how I think a nation should be founded. This is how it should be built. And when they left, we had a constitution that we still have today, and it's a great document. But now it seems like our lawmakers can't get along. They can't work across party lines. They can't work across branches of government. So my question is, how will you work with a different party? How will you work with a different branch of government to really accomplish goals that strengthen this government, uphold the Constitution, and really make America the greatest country, solidify it even more than it already is?
Well, I'll tell you, as I said, as the prosecuting attorney, I understand the art of negotiation. I understand the requirement of negotiation because we file so many cases in our district every year. And there's no way that we can have 7,000 jury trials in our courts. We have 9 courthouses. There's no way we could stack them up and have that many trials. I understand sitting across the table and negotiating with the opposing counsel and reaching an agreement. That's the talent that's something I've worked at for 20 years as a lawyer, reaching an agreement. And I think that certainly working across party lines, you see, it's well known that I'm not the party's darling for the Democratic Party. I wasn't the party's choice when they supported me in the primary. I'm not beholden to the Democratic Party. I'm not beholden to any party as far as every vote, every time. I can vote with a Republican. I can vote with an independent. I don't have to vote a straight party line. I can be man enough to stand up. I think I've demonstrated that I have the courage through my prosecutorial years to have the backbone to make right decisions and sometimes make tough and unpopular decisions. But still, to stand up and reach out, whether it's across party lines or whether it's across administrative lines between other branches of government. Now, I won't be discussing anything with a federal judge and the Department of Justice, but certainly with the executive branch and talking about it, the administration and also its the organizations that are affiliated with it. So I don't think that there'll be any problem with me reaching out on behalf of the constituents of this part of the state and discussing with agencies or discussing with commissions to try to benefit what's going on for our part of the state. I can do that.
Thank you, Mr. Ellington.
That's a very good question. Our Constitution was written to limit the power of government and not to limit the freedom of its people. And I think that our federal government has way too much power and has gone way beyond the boundaries that the Constitution gave them. And I think that when you vote libertarian, you're going to get the best of both worlds and a lot of cooperation, because most of the time I'm going to fiscally agree with the Republicans and I'm going to socially agree with the Democrats. As a matter of fact, there was a 2006 Zogby poll where 59% of respondents said, yes, I identify with being fiscally conservative and socially liberal. And that 59% of people, those people are libertarians. And if you're watching this evening and you people in the audience tonight think, yeah, that's me, well, congratulations, you've just become a libertarian. And so if people would vote their conscience and not down party lines, then libertarians would be running this country and we would be leaving you alone. So I think that the federal government has just gone way beyond its intended use and that it really needs to rein itself back in and listen to the 10th Amendment, give that power back to the states and stop adding costs, adding regulations, adding those sorts of things and let the states take back control.
I mean, your question is the reason I'm running for Congress tonight. I mean, I'm so frustrated with what I hear from our leaders. I mean, they just lie to your face. They don't even care. They're shameless now. They just lie to you, and then you call them a liar, and they say, yeah, I'm a liar, and then they go on. I mean, that's why I don't even watch the presidential debates, because it gives me a headache. I mean, listening to these guys, I mean, they're just two jokes, you know, and then you don't have any real issues being talked about. I mean, if people in America, if the citizens of America really want to honest government. I mean, look at what the Democratic and Republican parties have turned this country into. Look at the mockery that they've turned the Congress into and the White House. And I mean, even the judiciary branch to a lesser degree. But I mean, stop voting for Republicans and Democrats. Please, the people at home, when you go to vote, stop voting for Republicans and Democrats. Just don't do it. Just get there and, like, I know a lot of people are thinking that they might vote for a third-party candidate. Well, this is your year to do it. Send a message to Washington, D.C., and tell the two major parties that you're sick and tired of their show that they're putting on for us. I mean, it's not even entertaining anymore. You can laugh at it, but I mean, it's really sad. I mean, most of the politicians are egotistical. They don't want to even talk to ordinary people. I mean, they're not approachable. I mean, sorry, Congressman, you're approachable. But I mean, listen. I mean, for the most part, I hear the same rhetoric coming from both parties. If you want something different and you want to send a voice to Washington, D.C., I mean, elect someone like me. Elect someone like Mrs. Paxton. I mean, and there's so many other choices that could be on the ballot. But look at the reaction that we have from the two major parties. We can't even get our third parties on the ballot. It's so hard that, I mean, there's a lot of good people who want to run for office and they can't.
I think bipartisanship is critical. It's critical to moving significant legislation, and it is lacking. And I would point to Obamacare as a primary example of a piece of legislation that was really forced on the American people on a straight party line vote. And that's why it's important that we recognize we have to work together, particularly on big pieces of legislation that affect everybody, like health care. One of the things, you know, I've talked about making sure that we have permanent spending controls in place. But one of the things I think that we need to do that would hopefully affect bipartisanship is to look at a bill I've been working on for a year. It's an amendment that would require a supermajority before Congress could implement any further entitlement spending. That's a bipartisan approach to major policy issues. Now, you know, further down, let's look at some things like, for example, the Fuels Act. I wrote the Fuels Act in direct response to a situation that was happening here in the 1st District of Arkansas with on-farm fuel storage and the thresholds that we thought were unreasonable by the EPA. And we worked across party lines. In fact, my primary co-sponsor on that bill, Leonard Boswell from Iowa, we worked on that bill, equal number of Democrats and Republicans, passed it out of committee without a single no vote, went to the floor, passed it out of the House without a single no vote. It's now working its way through the Senate under Senator Pryor and Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma. And I suspect we're going to see the same result there. It's a good piece of legislation. It was crafted in a bipartisan basis. And that's the kind of spirit that we need in Washington right now. And that's what I've engaged in, not only in the Farm Bill markup, in this Fuels Act, and other things. And we have to be willing to work across the aisle. And I've done that.
Well, I'll tell you, the congressman's voted 94% of the time with the Republican Party, and very few times has he strayed. I think that the model to work in a bipartisan effort would be to look at Congressman Mike Ross down in the 4th District, who's voted numerous times with the other party. And even though he's elected as a Democrat, he votes with the Republican Party numerous times. That's a model for someone who doesn't just toe the party line and vote 94% of the time with their leadership. So I think that I would have the backbone to stand up and to my party and say, I see this as benefiting the people of the 1st District and not follow through with just towing the party line and following their direction.
In the interest of time, if I could, could you limit your responses to this question to 1.5 minutes to allow you to get your full 2-minute closing statements in? Thank you.
Gun control has always been a large issue. Relating the issue to college students, there's been a long history of gun violence at universities across the nation. Even in 2010, there was an ASU student shot and killed on campus. Some universities are actually now discussing whether they would allow people to carry concealed weapons onto campus, and it seems that public opinion is split down the middle on this issue. What is your position?
My position is that the Second Amendment gives me the right to bear arms. And I don't think that there should be any exclusions to that other than on private property where a private homeowner or businessman can tell you that they don't, you know, that they don't allow guns. I think that if you look at the history of school shootings and mass shootings, there are almost always in places where you are not allowed to carry guns. So what happens? You go to these places and people are defenseless because, well, they're following the letter of the law and they say, okay, well, I won't carry my gun. And then, well, criminals don't care if they follow the rules. So I think that it's very important that we do allow our students to be able to protect themselves at school. I'm speaking of colleges, of course. I don't want elementary children to bring guns to school, so please don't put that in the paper. I do think that everyone has the right to defend themselves, and I think that, especially here in Arkansas, that's an issue that most of us hold dear to our hearts. My husband and I both are concealed carry permit holders. We do obey the law, but there have been many times when we have not spend our money at a particular business because they don't allow guns, and that's their right to make that decision. But they sure won't get business from me.
Mr. Holloway.
I mean, there's always going to be gun violence, no matter what. I mean, when you take guns away from law-abiding individuals, then the criminals are the only ones left with weapons. Look at the country of Switzerland. They actually issue fully automatic assault rifles to all their citizens. They all get them. And you know what? They also get two years of training. So everybody in the country of Switzerland has fully automatic assault rifles, and they get training by their government on how to use them properly, clean them, break them down, how to maintain your weapon. And Switzerland's never been invaded. Everybody leaves Switzerland alone. But look at the United States. We have a history. This is part of our national heritage. I mean, we're Americans. I mean, we have guns in this country. I mean, this is part of our history. I mean, and we're at, most of us are responsible citizens, and we should be allowed to have that right that has been given to us. And I mean, just down the road from where I live, I mean, some dude got shot on Monroe Street over some cell phone minutes. Now, that doesn't make me necessarily want to ban guns, but, I mean, that makes me want to get my concealed carry. I mean, I don't want to get shot over some cell phone minutes. I mean, honestly, I mean, people should be able to have the right to defend themselves. And look at violent crimes. There's no violent crimes in Switzerland, hardly. I mean, that's a relatively safe country in other countries that allow people to have gun rights. I mean, you want to talk about, women's safety or people who
Thank you, Mr. Holloway. Yeah.
He was on a roll. I certainly support the Second Amendment. I'm proud to be endorsed by the NRA, and my voting record reflects that. I certainly think that, obviously universities ought to have a say with respect to policy and respect that. But I want to address one thing that Mr. Ellington said, that Mike Ross, he brought that up, and he votes across party lines. In fact, in the 111th Congress, Mike Ross voted 94% of the time with his party, and that was under Speaker Pelosi's direction. At that time, she was the Speaker of the House. But the difference is that Mike Ross does not support Obamacare, and Mike Ross does support a balanced budget amendment. So in one sense, I could say, yes, he'd be a good role model for Mr. Ellington. On the other hand, he might want to do a little bit more research and find out that he has, in fact, a record of voting with his party.
Well, and I'll take that and say that Mike Ross is someone who is to be a model, and he has in the past certainly voted 45% to 55%. But to address the answer to this question for gun violence, I believe I too have a concealed carry permit. The NRA gave me an AP or AQ rating because I'm not the sitting congressman, and they go with the incumbent most of the time. However, I support the Second Amendment and believe that carrying is appropriate most of the time. The question of carrying on this campus is governed by an administration, and just as a business can put a sign up that says no guns, the legislature has said you can't carry a gun on here, the state legislature. So until your state legislature changes the law, That's the law, and it's my duty to enforce it.
In the interest of time, I will just, I guess I'll sort of repeat what I said. I fully support the Second Amendment. I don't think that there should be many exceptions to that, if any. And I do think that where people can protect themselves, there's less likely to be gun violence. I mean, if you're a criminal, are you going to go onto a campus knowing that people are armed? No. Would you break into a house that with a big sign that says, "We have guns"? No, you're not. You're going to look for the weak link. And as a mother of two little boys, that it's my duty to protect them. You better believe that I will absolutely support your right to carry concealed, carry open. I'm about as pro Second Amendment, I believe, as you'll find.
Now you've heard the candidates' responses. Each candidate will have a chance to make a 2-minute closing statement, beginning with Mr. Holloway.
So, I mean, as I sit here tonight, I mean, getting a chance to be able to debate with the congressman and Mr. Ellington and Mrs. Paxton, I mean, this is quite a miracle that the Green Party and the Libertarian Party are here tonight to give you some objective views on politics. And I'm just so honored to be able to speak to the constituents of the 1st District. But I also want people to think. I want people to understand that when politicians give you easy, quick answers to very complex issues, they're lying to your face. Do not believe your national politicians because they're lying to you. And that is the main reason I'm frustrated. I'm honestly insulted that politicians think that it's okay to lie. And I mean, so I'm running for Congress, and I want more people to run for Congress. I want more people to run for Congress. I want young people to run for Congress. I want people to run for public office. I want people to be engaged, and that's why I'm up here. And I hope this is an example to other people. And if you're afraid of coming out and running for public office, just do it. Just do it. If there's something that is important to you, go out and run for public office, because I mean, that's what we have. We have a participatory democratic republic, and if you don't participate, then it's not democracy and it's not a republic, and that's what we have to lose. I mean, this is an experiment. This has only been around for like 200 years. We could lose this. We could lose this. And do you want to think that people just sat by, the American people just sat by and lost one of the greatest anomalies in human history? I say not. And that's why I'm here tonight. I'm asking for your vote. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to be accountable. And, you know, I hope that everybody has the courage to go out tonight and vote third party. Tomorrow when you go out, tell all your friends, you know, vote third party.
Thank you, Dr. McClain. Chris, Mark, Caleb, and Lindsay, thank you all for your questions. And to the faculty, staff, administration, all the folks that put this on, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it. 2 years ago, I was sitting virtually in this same chair asking you for your vote, and the citizens of the 1st District honored me with that responsibility, and it's a responsibility I take very seriously. And I want to give you a little bit of background to kind of refresh your memory. I'm not a traditional politician. A military brat, served in the Army myself as a bomb technician. I've been a rodeo cowboy, most recently a farm broadcaster, started my own business with my wife and built that business and have some experience creating jobs. And so I'm not your traditional politician, but I had an unusual military brats, but it's not the common experience. And I want to tell you a little story about my growing up years. It was common for us to live on base housing. As I said, my dad was a career military officer. And so we would move into base housing. And my mom always made it a beautiful home. But that was borrowed. We weren't owners of that home. And we would live there 2 years, 3 years. And then it would be time for my dad to rotate to a new duty station. And so the moving trucks would show up. And they would pack up everything. And the house was empty. And I thought, okay, finally, we're going to move. We're going to move on to our next duty station. My dad said, no. He got out the buckets and the mops and the sponges and the brooms. And I said, Dad, why are we doing this? We're leaving. We're not going to live here anymore. He said, because we're going to leave it better than we found it. And I learned that lesson at a very early age. Leave it better than you found it. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We are not leaving our country better than we found it when each of you are in debt. $50,000 today, and all of our children are looking at $50,000 in debt and potentially $243,000 each in unfunded liabilities.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, I grew up in Brooklyn, which is about 10 miles away. I grew up in Craighead County. I understand the needs of the people in this part of the state, and I seek to serve you as I do currently as your prosecutor, but I'll take that same common sense values to Washington if you'll elect me to be your congressman. It's like this. When the current Congress tries to balance the budget on the backs of the middle class and continue to give tax breaks to the wealthiest of Americans and makes to try to make our people, the people in my family, the people in your family, have to bear the burden. And all this debt that we're talking about, that's because there's been two wars and there's these tax breaks for all these millionaires that doesn't trickle down. I would favor tax breaks for the middle class, for those of us who actually have to work, like my dad who worked for 35 years at General Electric and my mom who was the lunch lady at the school cafeteria. That's the people that I seek to represent. And I'm not nearly as smooth and have little finesse. I haven't been in broadcasting. I just go to the courtroom and try to work things out and try a case in front of a jury occasionally. But the thing is I'll stand up and fight for you. I'll be your voice in Washington if you'll elect me. Congressman talks about all this debt. He doesn't discuss the fact that he spent $80,000 franking mail to you last year and another $80,000 to $100,000 this year, sending you cards, nice shiny cards with his name on it, telling you that he opposes to Obamacare. Those are the things that adds to the debt. That didn't stop him from sending that mail to you. I will be a good steward for your resources, and I'll stand up for you. I have the backbone to do that and make decisions for you. Ladies and gentlemen, the federal government is not a bad thing. They provide electricity and rural electrification back in the day.
Thank you, Mr. Ellington. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you're not here tonight or you're watching tonight so that you can vote for the most eloquent speaker or the person that memorized the most quotes and statistics. I'll be honest, I'm no one special. I'm not a sitting representative. I'm not a prosecuting attorney. I'm an average Arkansan, and I think that's why you should vote for me. I understand the struggles of the everyday Arkansan. I drive a used 7-year-old car. We take budget vacations. I live in a modest home. I buy my children's clothes at Walmart. I'm not wasteful at home. And so I would like you to understand that I would never be wasteful with your tax dollars. And I think that's incredibly important. And just like you, I'm very worried about the direction our country is headed. We are in multiple foreign wars. We have troops in 900 to 1,000 different countries all over the world. We have worthless money. We have people taking our freedoms every day, and I'll be honest that I'm pretty scared about that. But I'm going to ask you to trust me, and I'm going to ask you to be libertarian with me for one election, and I'm going to ask you to put your trust in me, and I want to show you that politicians are not all the same. And if you send me to Washington, then I will represent you fairly, and you'll always know where I stand. I think I've been pretty clear about that. And I don't think you should worry about what the polls say and who your friends and neighbors are voting for. You need to find one of the four of us that you connect with and that you believe in and vote for us and not worry about party lines so that you can have a clear conscience when you leave your polling place. Because in the wise words of the Libertarian presidential nominee, Gary Johnson, the only wasted vote is a vote for someone that you don't believe in. And studies show that 65 to 75% of Americans agree that we need a third party. So we're here. We're here to stay. And you'll see us here again in 2016, hopefully. So I thank you for your support and your vote. And I would love to do right by you.
Studio audience, please join me in thanking the candidates for their participation in tonight's forum. I'd like to offer thanks as well to our four members of our panel, to our timekeeper, and to our hardworking and talented ASU students who work behind the cameras that made this effort possible. Thanks to all of you who came out tonight to join us in the studio, and to our radio, TV, and internet audience. Thank you for tuning in, and good evening.